folks, in Ballinahinch today, there are organizations that exist that have their secrets. Organizations that if you want to join them, you need to go through rules and rituals and ceremonies to get in through the door. Organizations that don't just accept everybody, but organizations that are going to be very choosy about who they let to be members of that particular organization. For example, some of you will have heard of Riding the Goat. There's a young man, I can't confirm if that was Winston Shaw in his youth or not. There's a young man riding the goat. I'm not particularly sure what that is, but some of you will have ridden the goat. Some of you will have rolled up your trouser legs. Some of you will have delivered funny handshakes to your brothers and other sir knights in the local district. Some of you know what those secret organizations are all about. But today, I'm not here to tell you about the Women's Institute. I'm not here to urge you to join the Black or the Masons or the Royal Antediluvian Order of the Buffaloes, as used to exist on the Albert Bridge Road in East Belfast. I care little about any of those organizations. Today I'm here to share with you about the Holy Catholic Church and the Communion of Saints. Today I am a Christian man. Today I am a member of the Church, not just this one, but also the Church Catholic, the Church Universal, the Holy Catholic Church, the blood-bought bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to enter into membership of that church, there are no goats involved. Although maybe there's a couple in front of me here today. I'll not name names or look at anybody in particular. See, we believe in the church. That's what we say in the Apostles' Creed. This we confess. We believe in the Holy Catholic Church. And here is a little definition for you about the church. John Calvin writes this: the church is the body and society of believers whom God has predestined to eternal life. A later writer by the name of Jim Packer gives this definition: the church is the supernatural society of God's redeemed and baptized people who look back to Christ's first coming with gratitude, and they look forward to his second coming with hope. That's the church, friends. That's the church, the body and society of believers who God has predestined to eternal life. The body and society of God's redeemed and baptized people. That's the church. But today, friends, if you are to be a member of the Church of Jesus Christ, this one holy Catholic church, then the entrance exam is simply this: believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, and you will be part of his bride, the church. That's the truth. If Winston Shaw or anybody else tells you that you need to ride in these farmyard animals, or if he or anybody else introduces you to secret handshakes, you can denounce Winston Shaw and listen only to me. That's a good approach to take anyway. The church entrance exam is belief in Christ. And all who have called upon the name of Jesus are saved and part of the church. Now you might think to yourself, well, Scott, surely does the church open its door to everybody? Is the church open to people of all colors and creeds and backgrounds? And the answer is simply yes. You know what Ballinahinch is like? You've maybe lived here for 40 or 50 years, but because you weren't born here, you're considered a blue-in. We've already mentioned Dr. Shaw. Dr. Shaw is one of our very few elders who's actually born and reared in Ballinahinch. And occasionally when those eye blow-ins from elsewhere come in the session and start talking, Dr. Shaw looks at them and thinks, you're not from this place. Now, he doesn't really. That's only once every couple of months he does that. But you know what this town's like? If they earn your dues, blow-ins will always be blow-ins. Do you know what breaks my heart? When someone asks my daughters where they're from, Sophie especially will say, Ballinahinch. I slap her. I say, don't tell lies. We're blow-ins and we will always be blow-ins. We're from the east. When we were on holidays the other week up in Port Rush, we went to the Giant's Causeway. And Jenny laughed because we went up to the girl and we're members of the National Trust. They have no secret passwords either. You've just to pay to be a member there. We're members of the National Trust. And we flashed our wee card and I went to walk on. And the girl said, sir, just for our records, where are you visiting from today? Without even thinking about it, I said East Belfast. And Jenny laughs. It's Scott, we're not. We're visiting from Ballinahinch. And of course, that's true. But in my heart, I'm always visiting from East Belfast. Folks, wild blowings and people like me may never truly be accepted into this wee town. When you call upon the name of the Lord, you are saved and accepted into the body of the church. That's the way it works. And we don't ask you to go through any initiations or any secret rituals. It's all open and public and right and true. Because it is the body of Christ that he has organized and is gathering in on this earth to be his witnesses in Ballinahinch and beyond. See, the church, as we read in the Apostles' Creed, is holy. It is Catholic. And we also believe in the communion of saints. What does it mean that we are holy? Well, simply this, that we have been cleansed by the blood of Christ. Paul writes in Ephesians 2 that once upon a time we were distant and we were far off. Once upon a time we were considered alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. Once upon a time, he writes at the end of verse 12, we had no hope and were without God in the world. But verse 13, now in Christ Jesus, he says, you who were once far off have been brought near. That's the church. You who once were aliens and strangers from God, you who were once far away from him, you have been brought near. And how have we been brought near? It is not through doing stuff. It is not through crossing your fingers. Paul writes here, inspired by the Holy Spirit, you have been brought near by the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ that has cleansed us from every spot and stain. That is how you become a member of the church and how you draw near to God, by the blood of Christ. And what is it we sing? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And that is absolutely true. And so the church is holy. The church is holy and set apart because we have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. And that isn't to say that you and I as Christians are perfect, because we will still fall into sin and temptation all the time. But we are the bride of Christ, and therefore, because Christ is the head and holy, because he has washed us clean from every spot and stain, the church is holy. As Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 2, you, and listen to this, if you know Jesus today and are part of the church, listen to this. This is who you are. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Here is the church. This is who we are. And folks, I know we love our titles, don't we? I know some of you love to call me Your Reverence, Mr. Woodburn, the Manse family. And it's all very lovely and nice, and it tickles my fancy at times. It really does, but my name is Scott. What separates me, though, what makes me special, is not anything I have done, but because God has called me out of darkness and brought me into his marvelous light. And I, just like you, if you are Christ's, you are a chosen people, a holy nation, people belonging to God. This week, I had to go to the big house. Once upon a time, when I went to school, if you were ever called to the headmaster's office, you were in trouble. This week, it felt a wee bit like that. On Wednesday morning, because I'm moderator of the Presbytery of Down, I got to take a wee trip to church house to lead morning worship in church house, because the moderators do that. So I went along, feeling very small and insignificant and all the rest. And this lady who knew said to me, Scott, are you nervous? And I said, of course I'm nervous. I'm coming and I'm going to preach to the clerk of General Assembly. And that man hasn't smiled since 1953. And his deputy's going to be there and he's just as bad. Of course I'm nervous. And she said, well, look, set yourself down. They won't be here this morning. But the moderator, Dr. Craig, he's coming. And I thought, brilliant, don't have the clerk, but I get the moderator, just tremendous. And folks, I stood there in church house in Belfast, and it just dawned on me very suddenly, wow, look where I've got to in life. Once upon a time, I was a little Protestant pagan in East Belfast, rejecting Christ and rejecting the gospel. And now, because he has saved me and called me to the ministry, here I am up in the big house preaching to the moderator. Folks, you just have moments like that where you are humbled. I believe you me, I don't run about the country saying, please call me moderator. But you get wonderful opportunities because you are Christian. You are a believer. Opportunities to share with other believers in church house. Opportunities to share your faith with someone on the bus. Opportunities to declare the greatness of God because you, my brothers and sisters, are the church. That is who we are. Holy and set apart, once far off, but now nearby, so that we can proclaim the excellencies of the God who has called us. But more than that, we say in the creed, this we confess, we are holy and we are Catholic. We are Catholic. And some of you might be already thinking, hold on now, young fella. We'll have none of that talk in this church. Hold on now. Steady as it goes, we don't want that word said. Well, if you're thinking that, you've probably got a wee bit mixed up. You see, we're not Catholic in the sense that we are Roman Catholic. We are Catholic in the sense that we are part of the universal Church of Christ. That's what the word Catholic means. So for some of you, you can impress your granny today over lunch. You can say, if she says to you, did you enjoy your dessert? You can say, yes, granny, I have Catholic tastes. What that means is that you have universal, wide tastes. So you might like custard, but you might also like cheesecake. You've got Catholic tastes. And so in the same way, when we say that we are Catholic, we declare ourselves to be part of the body of Christ worldwide. Dave's already mentioned a wee bit of it this morning. We have got relationships with people that we don't even know, we've never met in North Korea and Afghanistan and in South America and all over the show, because we are part of the church Catholic. Now, Jesus doesn't just build his church in Northern Ireland. The gospel is preached all over the place. Men and women are calling upon him and being saved and added to the number of the church. And you and I have a relationship with them, whether we know it or not. Michael Horton writes this about being Catholic. Not only, he says, are we bound with the church of other times, but we're bound to the church of other places. To be Catholic is to believe that we are more related to just Christians in China, Africa, the Middle East, and Russia than we are to our own neighbors who have rejected Christ. Do you get that? That's being part of the church. That you have more in common with a believer in Outer Mongolia than you do with your Uncle Billy up the Dromore Road who has turned his back on Jesus. Now, that's radical. When you think about that, that's amazing because in our own wee circle down here, well, we know what everybody is, we know what everybody's about, and Uncle Billy, well, he's one of us, he's a prod, and he marches on the 12th. If Uncle Billy doesn't have Jesus, then Uncle Billy has less to do with you than some believer who currently rots in prison in North Korea today. That's the wonder of the church. That's the incredible nature and structure of the Church of Jesus Christ. We are Catholic. We are universal. Just as Paul preached to the church in Ephesus, his word is today declared to the church in Balnahinch. And we have a link with the church that has been and the church that will be. We are part of the bride of Jesus Christ. We are one. We are holy. We are Catholic. And Paul makes that clear. He says in verse 13, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near. And then he shares another few verses about Jews and Gentiles. And he argues that we have been brought together as one. And you see, this is the wonderful truth. I know that in Balnahinch, there are many different congregations. I think there's about 11 Protestant places where you could go today to worship. Now, that's a joke. And another disgrace. But behind the church that we can see, when we look at the invisible church, it is one, united by the blood of Christ, with Jesus himself as our head, with no room for division or breaks or fallouts. We are part of the one holy Catholic church. Friends, it breaks my heart. It really, really does, that there are divisions in this town, in the visible church, It breaks my heart that there are other ministers and other pastors who wouldn't talk to me in the street if I was given £20 notes away. I never would, but they wouldn't talk to me down the street. That annoys the life out of me. But behind the stupidity and the sinfulness of man in our division, the truth of the cross and the truth of the church is that if I am saved and you're saved and George Spears is saved and that guy up in the New Testament church is saved and Rodney Stout is saved, whatever we add to our names, i.e. Baptist or Congregational or whatever, those things fade away into nothingness, because what is true and meaningful and right is that we are saved and washed clean in the blood of the Lamb. That makes us Christian, and that makes us part of the one true holy Catholic Church. So whether the Free Presbyterians like it or not, we're going to the same heaven. And whether those boys who don't want to talk to me like it or not, we preach the same gospel. You tell them, because they'll not like to hear that. That'll wind them up. There's one church. One church. And may the Lord forgive our divisions. May he forgive our placards and our fighting and our public witness, which denies and pushes down what we're here to do, which is to proclaim the gospel. We read this from J.A. Packer once again. Each congregation is a visible outcrop of the one church universal. We are called to serve God and men in humility and perhaps humiliation while living in the prospect of glory. We are spirit-filled for worship and witness. We are active in love and care for insiders and outsiders alike. We are self-supporting and self-propagating. And each congregation is to be a spearhead of divine counterattack for the recapture of a rebel world. Wow. See, you think you only come here for the gossip. You think you only come here to get your one dose of wood burn in the week, and that ticks your box. Absolutely not. Folks, if you know Jesus and if you are part of the Church of Jesus Christ, then you're part of his plan to go and make disciples. You're part of his plan to go and proclaim the glorious gospel. That is why there is a one holy Catholic Church. And more than that, we are called to defend the truth. You see, although the creed doesn't say it, we are part of the Apostolic Church. The Apostolic Church. Then what does that mean? Well, it means that, as Paul writes here in Ephesians, we are built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone in verse 20. We are apostolic. And so in every single congregation, in every single little fellowship in Ballinahinch or beyond, if we truly know Jesus, we are called to defend the truth. I once read a sermon, I think it was an interview, with this lady minister in the States, and her name was Katie Morrison, and I only came across it because my sister-in-law is also called Katie Morrison. And I read this interview, and the interviewer said, "Who would you most like to preach, hear preaching?" And Katie Morrison, this minister in some church in the States, said, "The person I would like the most hear preaching is the Dalai Lama." And I near fell off my seat. The Dalai Lama? Are you kidding me? The Dalai Lama who denies Christ? The Dalai Lama who is supposed to be some god on earth? You want to hear this pagan preaching? And folks, I know that might sound like hard words from some thick-necked prod from East Belfast, but the church is here to defend the truth. And the Dalai Lama certainly does not stand for the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are apostolic, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ himself the cornerstone. And in the book of Jude, only one wee chapter, verse 3, Jude writes this: "Beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints." And Paul, later writing to Timothy in 1 Timothy 3, says, "I am writing these things to you so that if I delay, you may know how one ought to behave in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, a pillar and buttress of the truth." Here is the church. This is what we're about. standing for and defending the apostolic faith. The faith that says we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And if that message is never preached in this church, if that message is turned from, if I twist it, if I turn it upside down, if I start urging you to listen and to believe to another gospel, then friends, that is the moment you can get me my bus fare to some other church. But as long as I am here as your minister, I will do my utmost to defend the faith, to speak the truth, and to challenge you each Sunday with it. See our wee window behind me? Somebody told me recently that that's called an apostle's window because it's got 12 sections. Billy, did you know that? Are you listening? I don't think Billy knew it either. He didn't know it so much, he was off dreaming about something else. It's called an apostle's window because it's divided up into 12. Now, I don't think anybody planned that. I don't know. I wasn't there when they built this church all those years ago. But that is a wonderful testimony. If you're getting bored of listening to me, look at the wee window and remind yourself of the foundation of the apostles laid down for us once and for all. And we defend that truth. We stand for it today, even though there are many who would seek to twist it. Many who are even sadly inside the church who want to hear the Dalai Lama preaching. We stand for truth because we are the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. And friends, the truth today as well is that we believe in the communion of saints. This is my last wee point before you're panicking. The communion of saints. See, this is a beautiful part of the church. This is a wonderful part of the creed. It reminds us that not only do we have something to do with one another on a Sunday, we have fellowship with one another. We talk to one another. Hopefully you do anyway. But we also have fellowship with the church who has gone to rest. We've already sang about it in our last hymn, that mystical sweet communion. See, this is the joy of being part of the church. One day when I get to heaven, I will see Moses there. And Abraham will be there and all those great men and women of faith in the Old Testament. When I get to heaven, friends, there will be Peter there, Paul the Apostle, and all those great figures of faith in the New Testament. And when I get to heaven, there will be men and women there from every age, from every tribe, and from every tongue who have called upon the name of the Lord Jesus and are saved. And when I get to heaven, there will be men and women there who maybe I have even done their own funeral in this church. We will see them again. And more than that, folks, when we come to worship every Sunday, we worship alongside the church triumphant, the church who are already at rest. We read this from Ligon Duncan. When you come to the church visible, to the church militant, or in other words, the church on earth, to the church local, when you come to worship the living God, you come to an outpost of heaven, to a little taste of that new age breaking in on this one. You have come to the suburbs of glory, and you commune in your worship in word and prayer and sacrament with the saints above in glory. It's not a wonderful truth, folks, that granny of yours who was a faithful wee woman and who taught you the gospel, she today is with Jesus and she is praising him. Isn't it a wonderful truth that those elders who once ruled over you in this church, who have long gone, but who you respected and who led you to faith, those Sunday school teachers, those men and women of faith in your family, in this church, that your wife, your husband, who have gone to glory before you, isn't it a wonderful thing to know where they are today? They are safe with Jesus, and they praise him in heaven as we praise him on earth. That's what it means to be part of the one holy Catholic Church and the communion of saints, a communion that is not broken by death or by suffering or by illness. Friends, that's why I rejoice in being part of the church. That's why I don't need to be part of any other group or organization. That's why I don't need to give my time anywhere else. I don't need to go out and do anything else because I am part of the church that has been called out of the nations to share the gospel with the nations. That is who I am and who I know many of you are. And so let me finish by saying today that if you want to be part of this wonderful, glorious body on earth called the One Holy Catholic Church, then Jesus is the path to membership. And you can try at the door there in a few moments when you're shaking my hand to give me some of your funny, weird handshakes. If you come out past me with one trouser leg rolled up, that's not going to cut it either. And there's no point coming and saying, Scott, I've ridden a goat and a giraffe and a tiger and a cow and all sorts of different things. Doesn't matter. Today, to be part of this glorious body that we call the church, Jesus is the way. And I urge you to call upon him this day and be saved and to be part of this wonderful body of Christ here on earth called the Church Militant. Friends, many organizations exist. Many of them have secrets. Many of them have their little traditions and things that they do, but the church, there's nothing secret about her. Be part of it this day. Come and join it, I urge you. And do it through faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. May he build his church this day, and may his church go and make disciples. Amen.